Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of the Stay at Home Actor Podcast. My name is Sarah, and I am the host for this podcast. Today's guest was a really fun person to talk to. She is so sunshiny and bright. And if you've ever been curious about the Canadian film and television market, whether you live there or not, I think this is a fascinating episode to listen to, not to toot my own horn. But it really is because, I don't know, there's a lot of weird similarities and weird differences that the American film and television market has from Canada. So today's guest, her name is Allison Leet. Allison is a passionate actor, director, and storyteller from Vancouver Island, Canada. Allison has starred in many independent films, can be seen in high-budget productions on AMC and Hallmark. After receiving her BFA in theater from the University of Victoria and getting a diploma in acting for film and television from the Vancouver Film School, and then spending a year representing Canada at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, she decided to then open her own acting studio back in Canada to spread her love of acting and increase opportunities for her community. Allison loves watching her students create and grow, and that is very evident in our conversation that we had together. She's just a great person, a great human being. And again, if you've ever been curious or wanted to learn more about the Canadian film market, this is the episode to listen to. So I hope you enjoy, and without further ado, here is Allison. How are you doing today? Thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great. The sun is shining here. Spring and summer is on the way. No complaints.
Okay, so where is here for you? Where are you based?
Yeah, so I'm based in the center of Vancouver Island. So I am in the most western province of British Columbia, and then on the island off the coast of that. So it's about 6 hours from Vancouver. I grew up all over Canada. So I was actually born on the East Coast, right above Maine. And then I lived in Central Canada. I lived in Florida for a year. And now I'm here on the West Coast.
Whoa. Wait, what brought you to Florida?
What brought me to Florida was I went and I worked for Disney for a year when I was younger. Yeah.
Oh, my word. Okay. My husband is from Florida. He's from Tampa area. You were in Orlando.
I was in Orlando and it was wild. Wild.
Wait, in a good way?
Yeah. Just like, it was like culture shock for me.
I bet.
Yeah. First of all, like, it's just like totally different types of people and theme park culture and different foods and like ethnic foods that you can try and people from all over the world. And it was just, yeah, it was a lot, but in a good way.
Right. So where were you? Did you grow up acting professionally and then you were a child actor?
No. So I did not start acting until I was about 13. So my family lived on the East Coast of Canada, and then we moved to the West Coast of Canada when I was about 13. And my mom said, we need to send you to summer camp while we get the house ready and things like that. And I said, I'm not going to summer camp. And she said, you have two options, soccer camp or drama camp. And I said, neither. Both of those options do not sound fun. Yeah, but ultimately I picked drama camp because I was a big book nerd. I like to read. And so I thought, well, at least if I went to drama camp, I could probably get away with sitting in a corner and like reading a book. And that lasted, I don't know, maybe 2 days. And then I was like, oh, hold on. This is like a book, but in real life. Like the stories are coming to life. And that's what kind of got me into acting through theater. Yeah.
So that was when you were 13, you did the drama camp?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what was it like growing up in Canada, like how, with the acting scene there? Were there a lot of theater opportunities for camps there around you?
So I'm very lucky where I live on the island is a very, very rich community in the arts. We have 6 or 7 theater groups, 30 choirs, painters, potters, musicians, singers, songwriters, actors. Like there's a lot of arts stuff in this community. So I was really, really lucky to move here and be raised here. They do like 6 or 7 musicals a year. They do plays, all of these sorts of things. So being here and being bit by the theater bug was totally up my alley. I was very, very lucky to be raised here. And yeah, a lot of people from here grow up, go off to theater school and start working professionally. Growing up, film was never kind of in my idea of something that would be possible. You know, you think LA, you think New York, you think Toronto, Vancouver, etc. But after I graduated, I went to university. I went to the University of Victoria and got a degree in theater there. And that's when I kind of learned, oh, like film isn't so far out of reach. And so after I graduated, I went to film school and knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Okay, so you did a four-year undergrad program in theater and then you got a master's in film?
I'm not a master's in film. I went and I did a diploma in film afterwards.
Oh, okay. And how long did that take?
It was just a year. It was a 12-month expedited program.
Which is kind of ideal.
Yeah, it was great.
And then did you get representation after that? How long did that take you?
Yeah, so I did not get representation right after that. It was a struggle. Me and my friends, we were broke college graduates, like living on a dream. And we would do background work on like the big shows filming in Vancouver. Like Riverdale was season one at the time. We did a lot of background work on that to feed ourselves because we were broke. And so we're like, oh, they'll feed us on set. So let's do background work. And yeah, so we did a lot of background work that year. But yeah, couldn't get an agent, could not get an agent, moved back home after about a year and a half. And was like, I'm giving up on my dream. It's not happening. There's no possible way. And when I moved home, that's when I decided I was going to go work for a year at Disney. I was like, I need something positive in my life. I need some sort of like magic, so to speak, to re-inspire me because I was very low. I was not feeling great about it.
Wow. Okay. So you were in your 20s when you went to Orlando for the year by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. That is crazy. Oh my gosh. Like what a jump and how brave of you. That's amazing. I mean, I'm trying to think if I were in my 20s and decided to go to Canada for a year by myself, like that's really a scary feeling, but that's amazing that you did it. Were you grateful for the experience at Disney overall?
Overall, very, very grateful. I met some lifelong friends, It's been, 8 years maybe since I've done my program, 7 years. But I have people that I still talk to who live in the States and who live in other parts of Canada or in England and around the world. So it really brought me some really, really great friendships and just really made me realize how much I love working with people.
Right. And what all... was that okay? Well, I guess it wouldn't have been the Disney college program because you were out of college. So what was the program called, or was it not really a program? Were you a performer? What all did you do?
Yeah, so it was called the Disney Cultural Representative Program. So they give you a visa and it's year long versus the college program, I think, is a couple months here or there. And so for the cultural program, the whole point of your visa is you have to be doing something that like shares your culture. So for Canadians, there's the park in Florida called Epcot that has like the World Showcase with countries from around the world. And so I obviously worked in the Canadian pavilion, but if you were British, you'd work in the British pavilion, or if you were from Japan, you'd work in the Japan pavilion. And you could either work in food and beverage as like a waiter, or you could work in the store doing merchandise, or you could work at the attraction at the time, which was a 360 movie with Martin Short. And I was like, I like film. Let's do that one. But what was really cool, so sorry, my cat is just having a moment.
I love your cat. Hope your cat continues to have moments throughout this.
She's so cute. She's like, what are you doing? What are you doing on that computer?
she wants to be involved.
She does. She wants to be a star. but yeah, when I was working at the movie, you also got to do like story time and read like Canadian children's books and give tours of the pavilion and answer questions and take photos and things like that. So it was just very much a like guest facing role where you would like interact with people from all over the world.
Okay. So let me try to re-say the timeline just so I get this right for my own ADD brain. You at 13 did your first drama camp. You fell in love with it at camp. Then you go to university for 4 years, study theater. And where was the university? What was the name of it?
It's the University of Victoria, and it's on the south of Vancouver Island.
Okay. You graduated from that program, and then you pretty immediately went in to get your one-year diploma degree in film?
Yes.
And then a year and a half went by until you did Orlando, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So now we're in Orlando. You had a pretty good time.
Yeah.
The year runs up. Then would you have wanted to stay, or did you kind of go into it like, this is only going to be a year, so by the time it was up, you were ready to go back home?
I was ready to go home in like a personal sense. It was hard leaving my friends behind. Like, you live with these people and eat with these people and work with these people and go out with these people. So that was really hard. But on like a personal level, I was like, I'd like to go home, be in my own space. I've been re-inspired and go from there.
And it's too hot in Florida. So.
Oh, my Lanta.
I can't.
I can't. That was too much. The humidity.
I mean, I live in the South. It gets hot here, but we get seasons. So I like, I love a good fall, but Florida. In Orlando, it's like, if it's going to be that hot with no beach, I just have some questions about that, but it's fine.
Truly it was awful. Like, weather-wise, so, like, we were so not used to that. We were not acclimatized at all.
Oh, I don't think anyone is prepared. Like, Disney World, I love it. I'm like, even as an adult, I'm like, I can't wait to take Rory there, my daughter. But I'm like, we will go in the off season. One, because it's cheaper. Two, because I just literally can't with the weather. But okay, so you wrap up your year with them. You go back. And then what happens? Like, what's next?
And then I move back to my small town on Vancouver Island. And I decide that I'm going to open an acting studio.
Okay, what's the name of the acting studio?
Yeah, so my acting studio is called Sitka Stage and Screen, and we teach theater, musical theater, improv, film, voiceover to a whole bunch of people, starting, I think our youngest student right now is 3, and our oldest student to date has been 87.
That's amazing, Allison.
Thank you. And yeah, we have over 200 students right now, and a lot of our students are not looking to do this professionally, right? They're looking to make friends and build their confidence and find a passion and work on public speaking and confidence and that kind of thing. But I do have a couple students who have agents and who are actively auditioning and working in the world. So that's pretty cool.
Right. So I guess my question with the acting studio, is it, do y'all do plays? Is it more of like just an acting technique focus?
Yeah. So we do a little bit of everything. So in our radio classes, you know, they run on 10-week basis and they prep their play and then we perform them. But our year-long students, so the majority of our, you know, 5 to 16-year-old students are working throughout the year to put on a final presentation, like a final recital, a final play. So this year it's really cool. It's set in a haunted mansion. And so our theater, our theater and musical theater kids are doing things like thriller and, you know, being in the haunted mansion. And then our film students are ghosts that will be projected. So it'll be really cool.
I love that. That's amazing. What was it like having to, like, building your own business and starting from ground zero? What was that like?
Scary. It was scary. Again, I live in a community that is very, very prevalent in the arts. So we're very, very lucky. And I was starting my business with my best friend at the time. So I was the actor side of things and she was the photography, videography, technical side of things. So it seemed like a perfect pair to put us together and kind of start this. And so we were really lucky. We didn't have a studio like space when we first started. We were teaching at rec centers on March break and over the summer and things like that. And then we finally decided to get a home base because we discovered there was interest and there was, you know, people wanted to learn and take these classes. And then we signed a lease March 1st, 2020 for our first studio.
Yep. Did you have to back out of the lease pretty quickly or did you stick with that?
We stuck with it. We were very, very lucky. Spring break was upon us right as the world shut down. And we had a lot of parents say, hey, keep our money. We'll come to a summer camp when we can. Don't worry about it. We had a lot of community members support us. Our landlord was fantastic. She was a businesswoman as well. And she's like, being a woman in business is hard. And we're going to do our best to make sure that this doesn't break you just as you're starting off. So we were very, very lucky.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. And when did you then decide that you want to get representation for film and television for yourself?
So that was simultaneously. So I got representation at the same time that Sitka was in its beginning grounds. I would say in and around 6 months of each other, that kind of happened. And I got my agent in a kind of weird, unconventional way. But I was doing an acting class on Zoom, and my agent was at the time an actor in that class.
That's cool.
Yeah. So she's an actor, so she gets it. And she very quickly after that class had ended, decided she was going to become an agent and was making the professional transition at this agency to go from actor to agent. And she reached out to me and was like, "Hey, loved your work in class. I think you're very talented. I would love to represent you." And I was like, love that.
So that was shortly before 2020?
I would say, probably in like March of 2020.
I was going to ask, what was your first television booking? And if that's not your favorite, I also want to know what your favorite booking has been.
So I think my first or my favorite booking was probably my first booking. Just because that is the moment that every actor dreams of. Mm-hmm. Every actor is like, okay, I just got to get my first booking. And my first booking, not to downplay it at all, but I said two words, but I was so excited, and it was on a Hallmark movie, that hasn't come out yet. Funny enough, even though I filmed it a couple of years ago. And it was day one that the crew was all together. So it was day one of shooting. And so everybody was just so excited to be there and so excited to be, have the crew back together after COVID and to finally be making movies again. And so it was just a very special, magical day all around. Yeah.
What were the two words? Do you remember what the two words
were? It was, "I do."
I do. Yes, Allison. I love it.
And I was so nervous.
Yes, I bet.
So nervous. And I was like, what if I forget my line? And I was like, it's two words. You're going to be fine.
Well, it's funny because I feel like non-actors, they might watch a show or something and see those really, really tiny roles. And they don't know how hard it is to book those roles, you know? And I don't say tiny in a negative way, but I know what we have different terms. So in America, the smaller roles in a TV show, it goes like co-star, guest star, there's recurring. You can be a recurring co-star, recurring guest star. It kind of gets confusing. Y'all call it an actor role, right?
Which I think is so silly. I'm like, they're all acting roles. But yeah, a small, like under five lines would be called an actor role. So I had booked my very first actor role with my two words.
Right, which we would call that a co-star. Although some co-stars can be, it's all complicated. But people don't realize how hard it is to actually book that stuff. So it's like amazing. And then you feel like I don't know, I've done a couple of Lifetime things too, but like, if I tell people, they'll kind of laugh it off. I'm like, you guys don't know that there's actually a lot of people who audition for that.
So many people. And, you know, especially post COVID with self-tapes and having to learn how to set up your own equipment and your own lighting and record your own auditions and edit them and send them in. Like, it was a really big learning curve for a lot of people. And so I think in the early part of 2020, 2021, when we were still figuring out how to navigate this world as actors, every audition was a big production in the sense of like producing and getting this audition out there.
Right. And aside from your first booking being the Hallmark movie, which is so sweet and fun and perfect, I feel like, what was it like when you booked your first, I guess, actor role, or maybe not an actor role? I don't know. on a network television show. What was that like, and how different was it than being on the Hallmark set?
Yeah. So I've done two Hallmarks and I've done two TV shows, two network TV shows. And the first network TV show that I did was a TV show called Lucky Hank with Bob Odenkirk. And my scene was not with him. I was not speaking with him, but he was there. Right. And I was like, we're in the big leagues. Here we are. And I think that was my favorite because it really just taught me that, hey, I can do hard things, because I got to set and they rewrote all my lines to like really technical, poetic jargon. And that was not at all what was in the script or what I auditioned for. And so I was like, you can do hard things. You can pivot on point. You can do these things. And the biggest difference that I noticed between doing, you know, an actor size role on Hallmark and then doing what we would call a principal role on a network TV show was just the pace at which everything moves. On Hallmark, everything is so fast. You get one take, maybe two takes. They're filming a whole movie in like 2.5 weeks. Whereas on a TV show, they have, you know, 2 weeks to film an episode. So I think that was the biggest difference. Was on Hallmark, it was like, here we go, we're going, get ready, move faster, go. You get it one time. And before you knew it, like, you had filmed your scene and you had blinked and you don't even remember it. Versus on network TV, you know, we take time to do our blocking, which for those of you who are not actors, that's like your actor movement. So you're going to stand here, then you're going to pick up this book and you're going to walk over here and you're hitting your little marks of tape, which are on the floor, which, you know, help us stay in focus on the camera and be in our lighting and all of that kind of stuff. So you do a lot more blocking, you do a rehearsal. I find you get more direction and everybody's just taking their time a little bit more. That was the biggest difference that I noticed between doing network TV and doing Hallmark.
Did you feel any shred of anxiety or imposter syndrome on, I guess you kind of said that you did a little bit when on your first day with the Hallmark because it was your first really big booking?
I haven't felt the same sort of like anxiety as I did on day one, because I think it's fear of the unknown. Not fear, but perhaps like anxiety of the unknown. But I think as performers, I think as artists, I think there's always going to be a little bit of imposter syndrome. I think there's always going to be a little bit of, are they sure they wanted me? Am I actually meant to be here? I don't know if that'll ever go away, but it's not debilitating. It's just a little flicker of, am I the right choice? And then, you know, actor brain kicks in and goes, yes, you're the right choice. You auditioned for this. You rocked your audition. You did your character analysis. You used your props. You dressed the right way. Like, you are meant to be here in this moment. And I've had a lot of like validating experiences on set that, like, you know, the universe says to me, like, you are meant to be here. My favorite one is on the last network TV show that I did. I had a stand-in. And she had my sister's name. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I'll remember your name. You know, you have my sister's name. And she said, no way, my sister's name is Allison. And so we both had one sister with each other's name. And we were both the older sibling. And we were both, so it was just a very perfect part of the universe saying, you know, you're meant to be here. And that was really lovely.
And trusting that you've done the training and, like you said, the character analysis, all those things, you've done the work and now it's in your body, it's in your brain, it's in your subconscious, and you can just like let it go and have fun.
And just be in the moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Being in the moment and having fun, because ultimately, what I think a lot of us forget, we get stressed and we get in our heads, is like, we play. Like, that's what we're doing. We play for a living. And I think we forget that sometimes. And yeah, if you've put in the work, if you've done it, you get to show up on set and just be in the moment and be present and enjoy that creative side of things.
Right. So another thing I want to talk about is you and I both experienced, well, especially you was starting your business and getting reps right before COVID. And then a global pandemic hits, auditions halt, kind of think we're out of the woods. And then a double strike happened not too long ago. Did you feel the weight of that in Canada the same way that we did, or was it different?
We definitely felt the weight of it here in Canada because the majority of our productions that shoot up here are American productions. Mm-hmm. But we kind of felt it in a different way. So in COVID, when COVID hit and restrictions were opening and there were, few shows and movies and things that were coming back, the Canadian industry did open up sooner than the LA industry. Just based on our COVID numbers and mm-hmm. That kind of thing, the CDC or whoever makes those government calls, we got to go back to work quite a bit sooner than they did in LA. And then it opened up a lot of doors for Canadians to be booking bigger roles, because normally they'll bring in, you know, the leads of the shows and like the guest stars and the recurring characters. They'll bring them up from the States to film here. And then the smaller roles, they'll audition Canadians. But the actors they would bring up would have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that guest star role that would normally go to an American, they were now auditioning Canadians instead. So it opened up a lot of roles here for Canadians.
I think that was similar for the Atlanta market versus LA. And it's getting better in general for a lot of reasons. I think Atlanta has just proven itself to have so many talented actors regardless. But for a while, it was more known to be relatively more of like a co-star market, or people would say that about Atlanta versus LA. And now it's just Atlanta's and the Southeastern market as a whole has just grown so much that you're seeing a lot more recurring or guest stars being cast out of Atlanta, which is really cool. And some series regulars too, which is really awesome. When did you notice the shift that Canada started filming more and more? I'm a big Psych fan. And like, that's one of my shows. I love Psych. And I can't remember what part of Canada that filmed in. I want to say Vancouver, but I'm not positive. But I can remember.
I don't know.
Okay. I ask because I can remember growing up in Atlanta, and I really started noticing a shift for sure probably when I was in middle school of like, oh, my city is really starting to be a film city, you know? Mm-hmm. Did you notice that about Canada, or was there a time you can really pinpoint, or not so much?
Vancouver has always kind of been a hotspot for filming, just in general. You know, X-Files filmed there, 21 Jump Street filmed there. Vancouver has a lot to offer in terms of, we don't get a lot of snow here, so we can generally shoot things year-round, which is a really big benefit of being in Vancouver. So in terms of Canadian cities that have film history, I would definitely put Vancouver up on that list. But it wasn't until, I would say, there was like the shift of like the CW. All of the CW shows came to film here in like between 2010 and like some of them left in 2022. But we did all the superhero shows, Batwoman, Flash, Arrow, DC Legends of Tomorrow, all of that stuff. But we also did Charmed, Riverdale, Nancy Drew, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, all of that kind of stuff. So anything that was like CW filmed here. So we got to be known as like the sci-fi teen area. But that's kind of changed because those shows are over now.
I'm like, Psych must have filmed in Vancouver then. It must have been. They they're based in Santa Barbara, the whole show, Santa Barbara, California, which is really sunshiny and whatnot. So maybe that's Vancouver.
Maybe, I'm not sure. So many things have filmed here over the years, and things that people don't even realize or recognize that were filmed here. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I would have never known Nancy Drew was filmed there or Riverdale. What do you do when you're not acting? Like, what are some of your favorite things to do that are non-actor things?
It's crazy because I'm an actor, yes, but I also, my job revolves around acting. So a lot of things that I do are actor related or actor adjacent. Uh-huh. So we go to a lot of live theater. We like to watch live theater. So whether it's here in our own community or if we're going over to Vancouver to see like Broadway across Canada or things of that nature. We're also really big movie buffs as well. But I am a board game fiend. I love board games and I love crafting. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So I love, I've recently taken up embroidery, which has been kind of exciting and fun. I'm dabbling in canning and preserving pickles, which is fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I'm basically like an old lady. Like when we go out, when Cedar and I go out to like breakfast or dinner or something, we bring a deck of cards with us and like we will play cards like as we're waiting for the food to come out. And the waiters and waitstaff are always like, how old are you? And we're like, I know, we're 80 years old. Thank you very much. But it's just who we are. We try to spend our time together away from our devices because my job requires me to be plugged in a lot of the time. So I try in my free time not to be, but that's really hard with what if a student gets an audition and they need me? So I need to check my, what if I get an audition? I need to check my email. I need to be online and I need to be present. So finding balance has proven difficult, but necessary.
What is your favorite board game? Now I'm curious.
Ooh, I love Settlers of Catan. Big fan. But we've recently started playing Hues and Cues, which is basically you get this giant board game and it has, it's just squares of different colors. Like I think there's maybe like, I don't know, like 400 colors on the board game or like on the board. And then I'll pick up a card and it will have one of those colors on it. So it'll be like L27, which relates to a color on the board. And I get to give you two hints on what that is. So let's say my color was this color. Like I picked up a card with pink. So my first hint can be one word. And so I might say Barbie, but I can't say pink. And then you're going to put your little thing on it. And then my second clue might be lipstick, right? So you get two hints where you can't say the color and then you place them on the board and then you get points for however close you were to the color. So we're really enjoying that.
I am not normally a board game person, Allison. I'm not going to lie to you, but you make me want to fly to Canada and play a board game with you, though, okay?
Anytime. Anytime. Doors open. Come join.
I love it. Okay, before we go, is it cool with you to do a lightning round of questions?
Yeah.
The first one is, what advice would you give to any Canadians who are wanting to get into acting, especially, I guess, near you, because it's a whole country. So maybe the ones that live near you, where should they train? You can shout out your own studio, of course. And how should they go about the process of like getting representation, doing all those things?
I think first of all, just know that it's possible, especially with COVID and things being done via self-tape now. You don't have to live in Vancouver and you don't have to live in Toronto. You can live other places and still be involved. I think number one, it doesn't matter where you get your training done in terms of if you want to get a degree, great, go get a degree, but you absolutely do not need one to be an actor, but you do need training. So whether you're going to go to some of the universities in Vancouver, Capilano has a program, UBC has a program, and do those more traditional schools, awesome, great. But there's also so many acting studios, McElroy and Associates, Actor Van, Vada Studios, all of these places where you can take semester-long classes. You don't have to, you know, commit for 4 years. But I think training is a big one. I would say build your community, find your people. But there's so many communities out there. And I think just the biggest thing is knowing how accessible film is to Canadians.
I love it. Did you feel like your four-year degree was extremely helpful or not so much?
In terms of being a working film actor, no, I don't think it was beneficial. In the sense of like knowing the industry, but what it did give me, it gave me lifelong friends. It gave me the ability to learn lighting, costume designing, directing, stage management, so that I can produce my own work. It taught me, you know, expectations and professionalism, and it taught me a lot about theater. But I don't think it was necessary to my career in acting for film. But it definitely was a game changer for being a business person or making my own work.
That's a great answer. Thank you. Somebody asked, this is a funny one. How often do Canadian people really say A?
That's a great question. I'm sure that I do, and I'm sure that we don't even clock it. It's not a very... The stereotypical, like, oh, out and about, let's go get her, eh, is not really super prevalent in Canada unless you're in one of, like, Eastern Canada's provinces where their accents are a little bit thicker. Yeah, I mean, it falls into conversation. I'm sure if they listen to the podcast here, I'm sure I've dropped it in once or twice. But it's not nearly as prevalent as people think that it is.
That's like, I say y'all all the time, and I don't even think twice about it.
I say y'all, and I don't know where it came from. And everyone's like, Allison, where did you pick that up? And I'm like, I don't know, but I say y'all on my Lanta. And everyone's like, I don't understand you. And I'm like, I don't know where I got it from.
I did die when you said oh my Lanta earlier. I was like, yes, Allison.
But I will say for actors specifically, we will hear the note from casting a lot of the times to drop the Canadianisms. Because most of what films here is set in America. And so they're definitely looking for like a non-regional American voice. And so sometimes we'll hear like in the audition, they'll be like, watch your stories, watch your inflection up at the end of sentences. Cause we're, you know, it's sorry versus sorry. And Canadians have that.
Sorry.
But we got to watch it when we audition. We got to be like, sorry, we got to go to the American. And we tend to, Canadians and our politeness tend to upspeak at the ends of our sentences. Even when it's not a question, we'll just throw it up because it's us being polite, versus Americans are a lot more straightforward, and they don't inflect up. So casting says that a lot here. Watch your Canadianisms.
I wish Americans were more polite. Maybe instead of you guys having to adapt what we do, we should all just work on sounding more polite and go up at the end of our sentences.
Just go up. Yeah.
Now I know if I ever have an audition to do a Canadian dialect, I'm going to think about what you just taught me.
Yeah, but I mean, we're pretty similar. Like non-regional American and West Coast Canada is pretty similar.
I love the way you say Canada. Like that, I love that. You say Canada or something. Wait, say it.
Canada?
Well, now you're thinking. Now I'm thinking about it.
Okay, I'll have to listen back.
It's just so gentle. Like I think I say Canada, and I think you say like Canada a little bit.
Canada. Well, yeah.
Yeah, Canada.
There you go.
I wish I could say Canada without having like a try for it. What is your favorite Canadian treat or food?
Ooh. Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh my Lanta.
Oh my Lanta. That's a great question. I feel like most people are going to answer poutine to that question because it is just a great Canadian delicacy. But I'm going to go the opposite route and I'm going to talk about a Nanaimo bar, which is like a treat. You can find them at coffee shops. If you're ever doing like a party and you get like a tray of like brownies and things like that, a Nanaimo bar would be on that as well. And I live pretty close to Nanaimo where the Nanaimo bar is named after. But basically it's like a little square, I guess you would call it. And the base is like chocolate, oats, and coconut. And then on top of it, there's a thin layer of like vanilla custard that hardens because you keep them in the fridge. And then on the top layer, it's like melted chocolate. So it all hardens, but it's a little very delicious.
Okay. That sounds amazing. And I need to get one or make one. I'm going to look up a recipe later. What do you think is the biggest differences between our markets?
Ooh. I would say that is a hard question.
Sorry, girl. Didn't mean to throw a wrench to you.
That's okay. I think one of the main differences is scale. Yes, you know, I think if you look on the union website for Vancouver right now, I think there's something like 21, 25 movies or TV shows that are currently filming. But if you look at the states, like how many things are filming in LA, how many things are filming in New York, how many things are filming in Atlanta, like I feel like the scale is just much, much larger. And even, you know, listening to my American actors talk about LA and talking about how many casting directors there are, and, you know, there's casting that they've never seen, and et cetera, et cetera. In Vancouver, there's like 8 to 10 like main casting directors, and that's pretty much it. So we're seeing the same people over and over and over and over again. So I think it's a little bit easier for us to maybe build relationships with casting, just because it is a smaller market and the number of actors that are here is, you know, there's still a lot of Vancouver actors, but I feel like it's just smaller in scale. So I think it's a little bit easier for us to connect in that way, maybe.
And then Toronto, are there like 8 to 10 separate casting directors for them too, probably?
Yeah, I don't know their exact numbers, but it's pretty similar. Sometimes we will audition cross market. That happens quite frequently here. If they're shooting something big, they'll audition all markets. But yeah, we're pretty tiny in comparison.
I'm not sure how many Atlanta has now. I feel like it is kind of similar to that, maybe of the main ones. But the issue is you have, it's not technically just Atlanta. You also have New Orleans. You have a little bit going on there. You have some in North Carolina. And this is not even touching, like you said, LA, Chicago, New York. So that is like interesting to think about. I would rather it be smaller and just audition for the same people over and over, you know?
And I feel like our market is less crossovery, if that makes sense. Like for big roles, we do audition like in the Toronto market, or they'll audition here. But we basically only have Vancouver, Toronto. There's like a small Alberta, like Edmonton, Calgary, Montreal. And then sometimes they'll film in the Maritimes. But it's so expensive to travel cross country here, and everything is so spread out. Like there's so much farmland and empty space between our markets that, you know, there's not people like in the outskirting town that you can crew a movie with. You have to be kind of within the hub.
That makes sense. What last question before I have you say how people can find you? If I said I want to go do a vacation to Canada, what should my general itinerary be? Like, do I hit up Toronto first? Do I do Vancouver? Like, where do I go? What should I definitely see?
Oh my goodness. Canada's a big country. Okay.
How about, let me narrow it down a little bit. If I went to Toronto or just Vancouver, how about this? Vancouver. What should I do in Vancouver?
Yeah, so if you're picking between Toronto and Vancouver, come to Vancouver, 100%. Toronto's fine, but it's like another metropolitan city, quite frankly. If we're going Canada big picture, if you haven't seen Niagara Falls, like I saw it for the first time a couple years ago, blown away. Incredible. If you're coming to Vancouver, okay, you have some things to do. Oh my goodness, so fun. Okay, so I would definitely go to the Capilano Suspension Bridge, which is beautiful. British Columbia and Vancouver are known for our really old growth trees, like hundreds and hundreds of year old, like tall, big cedar trees that you can like hold hands with like six people around them, like in the trees. Yeah, they filmed part of the new Jurassic Park World series in the forests here. So I would go to Capilano. It's a suspension bridge through these old growth trees. And if you go in the wintertime, they're all lit up with these fairy lights. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go to Science World, which is basically like a science museum, interactive science museum in downtown Vancouver, which is a lot of fun. I would go to Granville Island, which is kind of like a hipster type of vibe a little bit. It definitely reminded me of like the gum wall in where's the gum wall? Seattle. Mm. My goodness gracious. Oh. Okay, so like the market in Seattle with like the gum wall and the fish market and all of that kind of thing. So Granville Island is similar to that, but has a lot of like artisanal artists and food and stuff like that, and music and artists playing and all of that kind of thing. And then I'd go to Stanley Park, and inside Stanley Park, there's a big theater, like an outdoor theater where they do different music shows and theater shows, and I would see something there. So that's what I would do if you're going to Vancouver.
You have me sold. Honestly, now I want to plan a trip. How can people find you? Where can they find you? And I will also put everything in the show notes too of the episode.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and on TikTok under my name, which is Allison, but it's spelled with a Y. So A-L-L-Y-S-O-N. And my last name is Leet, L-E-E-T. And you can find me on either one of those platforms.
Awesome. I will put that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Allison. You are a gem of a human being.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I hope that you enjoy today's episode with Allison. If you want to follow along with her journey, you can find her on Instagram at Allison Leet or on TikTok at Allison Lee. And again, that information will be provided to you in the show notes of the episode. Before you go, the greatest gift you can give to a podcaster, especially a new podcaster, is to take 5 seconds of your day to rate and review the podcast on Apple or Spotify or however you're listening to it, or to share it on social media, share the episode, or do both. I don't know. I'm not picky. But literally, that makes a huge, huge, huge difference. And I know it feels cringe to ask for it, but I'm just being real. This makes a great difference. So if you don't mind, please do that. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.